This is A Takeaway. I'm MHP. Good to have you with us. Take a listen to this.
The kids who come here know they are competing in a world that is very high achieving.
I would love UC Berkeley.
Harvard, Stanford.
Columbia.
Stanford.
Stanford's my dream school.
My name is Debbie Lum, and I'm the director of the documentary Try Harder.
Debbie Lum initially intended to make a documentary about Asian American mothers obsessed with driving their children to excel in school at any cost. Lum observed and interviewed students at Lowell High School in San Francisco, which is majority Asian American and is known for its academic excellence and high-achieving students. But as she conducted interviews with some of the seniors there, Lum found that the perspectives and experiences of the young people were even more compelling than those of the parents.
Well, when I started, I felt like a mom, you know, very curious about what it takes to get your daughter or your child into college. And, but, you know, we relived high school in the making of this film, and it really takes you back. And, you know, we just really felt so empathetic to the students by the end of it. And, you know, one of the kids says it's like a war on two fronts, going to school and trying to get into college. You know, you've got the peer pressure, and then you've got the parental pressure. And so I think by the end, you know, we definitely identified with the students and kind of being up against their parents to some degree.
I think I was also struck by just the generational, the realities of college being different, right? So I came out of high school in 1990, and, you know, I did have some B's coming through high school and nonetheless had no problem getting into the schools I wanted to go to. But that is just not the case for young people now.
Yeah, you know, that's what the kids at Lowell High School call an Asian F. You got a B. You know, the pressure to perform to get into college is so extreme today. And, you know, the kids having 4.5, you know, greater than a perfect GPA, right? And the just all of the higher expectations that, you know, it's like it's basically a reflection, I think, of our American society where we're living out on the extreme margins. You know, that's the only thing that's acceptable and seen as success. But I think a lot of that, too, is just this perception around, you know, the colleges have done a very good job of marketing their sort of brands as, you know, unattainable. And more kids applying, lower percentage rates, more desirable. And I think the thing that really struck me was this sort of all or nothing mentality, you know, and that there's really only one choice. You can only succeed if you get into the number one. And there's no sort of general acceptance of maybe I should go to a college that is the right fit for me and that maybe I'm not rankable, you know. It's just there's so much more pressure, expectation, unreasonable expectations around the students. And it's coming from the students as well as the parents. So it is pretty hard.
So you make the point about the Asian F. And I am wondering if that question about the B, right? So is, and this seems in certain ways so ridiculous, right? Like the B, but the B, or maybe even in my case, there were three B's on my high school transcript. That part of that is about, you know, again, having applied to get into school in the 90s or 80s as opposed to now. But I also wonder about the intersection between the presumption of the 4.0 plus and the Asian and Asian American identity, right? That for those students, the expectation is perfection or perfection above, and not just from their parents and from the students themselves, but from the college admissions counselors.
And that's the overwhelming concept around the students, too. They really feel like if they're less than perfect, they're not going to get in. And you can see it in the kids that we followed, both in their perception as well as in what they saw reflected back on them, that unless you were the guy that was had a ruling dynasty, he was a president for every single 4 years. He was the concert violinist. He was on the, you know, he... U.S. physics genius and a speed cuber, and, you know, he was everything. unless you were that, then you're not gonna stand a chance at any of the schools.
I want to talk about Rachel a little bit, who is a such an interesting aspect of the film. And Rachel's biracial. She has a black mom. And through her, we see both the tiger momming occurring in a sort of different person. And we see, these anxieties around blackness and acceptance into the Ivy League schools. Can you talk about Rachel a bit?
She was so open and able to articulate the complexity of race in the college admissions process and also just in high school. This sort of, we were just talking about this the other day, that the expectations for African-American students like herself to achieve academically, that she's going against the counter stereotype to the model minority. And here you've got she's on the honor society at Lowell High School, which means you have to have a certain grade point average. She's got incredible scores. She's in the Lowell Science Research Program doing graduate level science research. And she's an amazing writer. She's the editor of a school newspaper. And people immediately assume that her college results have everything to do with race. And this is, what I think a lot of people of color talk about when they go off to college is this sense of the imposter syndrome. I mean, kids have it anyway, but that everything in the end, it boils down to your race. And, it's just so far from the truth for Rachel and for so many kids like her. And one of the things I loved about Rachel is that, her mom is not only African-American, she's a single mom. So she single-handedly raised Rachel. And she just shows you that, you don't have to be Asian to be a tiger mom. She's the most tiger probably of all the moms in our film. I learned so much about parenting from her. She's so skillful at it. She basically told us it was her job to have these hired expectations for Rachel. And if she wasn't going to be the one to push her, who would do that?
We'll be right back with Debbie Lum, director of the documentary, Try Harder.
Every memory you think you have of the past,
the house you grew up in, your first kiss,
it's not simply an idea, it's a physical trace left in your brain.
I own those memories. They define me.
But what happens when those memories are stolen from you?
In the blink of an eyelid.
Can you imagine what to have one night 20 years long? That's what it's been like. Just like this.
Memory and Forgetting on Radiolab. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Sometimes at Lowell, it's hard to have a strong sense of self-esteem because you're always comparing yourself to other people. Like, oh, this person has a higher grade point average than me. They got a better ACT score than me. So how am I going to measure up?
You jump in the water, swim an hour that way, and swim. That's 2 hours.
Going to Lowell, I have been introduced to so many, actual, geniuses.
Back with you on The Takeaway, I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. And those were some Lowell High School seniors talking about making the grade in Debbie Lum's documentary, Try Harder. These kids have college on the brain from the moment they get to Lowell High School. And of course, getting into college seems like one of the biggest and most important things to happen in a young person's life. So it's kind of understandable that they'd be so focused on their grades and rank and the admissions process. But watching this documentary had me worried that maybe it isn't all healthy. Director Debbie Lum continues.
The Lowell students will take all of this with them, so they're so prepared for college that by the time they get there, they find it easier than high school. And then they do, they kind of say what were we stressing out about so much? But at the same time, they also take, I think high achieving students take that with them, and these are the kids that become the adults that become, the leaders of our society. They take with them that extreme anxiety. And sometimes it doesn't show up until later on in life. So one of the things that, because our film really looks at the universal story in their story, which is getting into college. Sometimes I think people don't see the specifics of Lowell High School, which is that they do actually have a lot of community, and they, you know, it's sort of this idea that they're all soldiers in a boot camp, you know, and that they've kind of all run the gauntlet together. It's interesting that I've met alumni from Lowell that, you know, it's like their high school is far more imprinted on their minds even than college. So it is kind of interesting. I mean, I guess that's sort of what drew me to the story was mm-hmm. that, you know, regardless of the outcome of where, you know, it is a very dramatic story. Like what, you know, you're putting all your eggs in one basket to try to get into your dream college. What college will you get into? But at the end of the journey, there's still that sort of human story, and there's still that relationship that a young person has with their parents who are helping them get there.
And of course, because it is a human story of such very young people, there's a lot of life that they continue to live beyond the boundaries of the film. And so I just really, you know, I'm sure so many of us want to know, have you kept in contact with any of the students? And I'm wondering sort of, you know, where are they now?
Most of them have graduated from college now. They often come with us to talk to press or to talk to audiences, and, you know, and they are doing really amazingly well. Alvin, who everyone, I know all the moms out there just adore Alvin. And when he saw the film, he was like, I wish I could just give that high school kid a big hug and tell him it's going to be all right. So yeah, they've all kind of gone off in different directions. And Ian is a high school teacher now. He ended up staying in Atlanta, Georgia. He teaches at a Title I high school. It's predominantly African-American. And he's the only Asian person, student or faculty. In his. So he's come a long way from his Kansas, which is San Francisco. They're pretty fun to be around, I have to say. They give you hope.
Can I ask about the teacher who had the liver transplant?
Mr. Shapiro, Richard Shapiro, he is doing really well. He's like a walking miracle. Mm. He taught at Lowell High School for over 30 years, and he just recently retired. You know, he is the kind of the dream teacher, the one that you wish you'd always had. And yeah, it's a whole new life for him. I think he misses it a little bit.
So what happens when a tiger mom becomes an empty nester?
You know, when I started making the film, it was actually going to be a film about tiger moms or the stereotype of tiger moms. And I was looking at it through the perspective of moms. And it's still one of the things I'm really curious about exploring, which is what happens after your job is done and you've got nothing to do. And it's really funny. We kind of joked with Rachel and Donna that we should do a reality series about them. Mm-hmm. Because Donna was so tough with Rachel and always, you know, saying, you know, I'm going to push you out of this nest. You're going to go as far as you can go. And you're going to, you know, make me so proud. And then when she did, Donna was just in tears, devastated that her daughter was gone. And, you know, we'd call them up during their college, while Rachel was in college, and Rachel would be like, oh yeah, my mom's visiting. So there were a lot of visits. They're, you know, they're still so close. It's very sweet. And same thing, you know, same thing for Alvin too. You know, when he went off to college, you know, we're all kind of worrying, and then he sort of had that quintessential college experience, his freshman year, stealing street signs and things like that, you know.
Is that still the quintessential college thing?
I guess, professor, you would know better than I do. He was having a good time, but then the pandemic hit. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, moving back home, to going to school virtually. It's been tough, I think, for kids today, students today. And I think also for moms, it's like we have so many more expectations around being a mom, being career moms, and then treating being a parent as a career as well. And it's just a lot of pressure all around for everybody. Yeah.
Yes. So perhaps what we all need is to try a little harder to get some naps and some ice cream in our lives.
I like that. That's a great
Debbie Lum is director of the new documentary, Try Harder. Thanks so much for joining us. And say hello to the young people from The Takeaway the next time that you are with them.
I will too. Thanks so much.